Natalie Voss, who is the editor-in-chief of the Pollock Report, won her second and third Eclipse Awards this year, becoming the first individual to win two writing award categories in the same year since the late Bill Knack, who pulled off the feat in 1991. Both winning pieces pertain to thoroughbred aftercare, an issue very much on the minds of many these days, and something Natalie is extremely passionate about. And Natalie is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Natalie, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you, Mike. I still can hardly believe that it's happened.
Yeah, you had a quote in an article that was published afterwards on the Pollock Report, and your quote was, "I never could have imagined this happening in my wildest dreams. It is a tremendous honor to just win one award, but to win two in one year is unfathomable." And I thought that was a great word to use because it truly is. What was it about these two pieces you feel resonated with the judges?
Well, I think, you know, there's in the two writing categories, there's one category for features and there's one for news or enterprise reporting. And I think in this case of the feature story, it was just a compelling, improbable sort of story. And I don't mean that as a reflection on my own writing, but the events that took place, reuniting a exercise rider with her favorite horse that she had broke as a yearling and ridden as a two-year-old. He'd sort of gotten lost to the ether, and she had found him again, thanks to the actions of other people in his life who she didn't even know before. So I tend to think that was probably just such an incredible sequence of events that I would imagine that stood out well with the judges. And in the other category, the winning entry was a three-part series on aftercare. And I like to think that was a pretty dense subject that I think I dissected as well as I could, and that tends to sort of do well in the enterprise category if you can make sense of something and find solutions, potential solutions, and I think that tends to go well. So I think that might have been what appealed to them.
You know, people will read these pieces and they will think, okay, well, Natalie's a great writer and she just has a way with words and she just puts these things together and puts them out there on Pollock Report and all of a sudden they're winning awards. Natalie, it's not that easy. I know from putting together our race broadcast that you spend far more time, far more effort and research and all of those types of things before you even go on air. The on-air part is the easy part for us. And I would imagine the writing part is the easy part for you. Talk about the preparation that goes into putting pieces like this together.
Yeah, so, you know, particularly for investigative reporting, which is most of what I do, and I would put the aftercare series in that category, it's a lot of talking to people, digging up whatever kinds of records or statistics that you can find ahead of talking to people. Usually the people you talk to will point you towards some resources. You'll have to go back to the drawing board research-wise. And then the writing process for anything complicated is a multi-draft process. The organization, really of both Eclipse Award pieces this year, was a challenge because there was a lot of information packed into each one, and there was a lot of sort of timelines that had to be sorted out in the case of the feature category. So it's a lot of back and forth with our publisher, Ray Pollock. My husband, Joe Nevels, who's our bloodstock editor, is also a really good person to bounce a story off of. So there's kind of multiple drafts in that process. And then, you know, Ray is really careful about the fact-checking process, in addition to my own fact-checking of myself as much as I can do it. And we go back and forth on a lot of things. And, you know, this statistic or this piece of information is not going to make it in unless we're absolutely sure about it. And so it's weeks of research, and then it's usually several days back and forth once you have the first draft to try to get it where it needs to be before it publishes. So yeah, it's a little duck-like, you know, there's the thing you see and there's all the work going on underneath the surface that makes it happen.
I mentioned earlier that aftercare is a subject that is near and dear to so many people's hearts in our industry, and it's something that when people start getting involved with aftercare, even if they haven't been prior, it becomes a passion and it becomes all-consuming. So why, Natalie, is aftercare so important to you?
Well, I really came to horse racing because I loved horses. which sounds a little simplistic, but I think that, you know, some people come to it for, you know, the friends and family kind of atmosphere or aspect, and then some people really get into the wagering side, and then you end up loving the other pieces of the sport. But the thing that started you is usually the thing that you stay sort of most true to throughout your time interacting with the sport. And for me, it was always the horse itself. And so, of course, you know, that created a great deal of care for me as to what happens to them when they leave the track. But it was also, you know, kind of an appealing aspect, because that was how I could get close to a racehorse when I was first starting in the industry. You could work with retired racehorses, and you could learn kind of with them when you may not be prepared to go to a racetrack and get a job, you know, on the backstretch. So a way to get close to them, a way to get other people close to them and get them to understand the magic of a horse, because I think that that's a good thing for our industry too, is to help other people fall in love with the animal, because that really is the start of everything for us as a sport.
What did you learn in putting these two pieces together that maybe surprised you, that something that you weren't necessarily expecting to learn? Maybe it caught you off guard a little bit.
Well, I think in the case of the feature story, it was sort of surprising from the beginning just to hear the improbability of the sequence of events that led to a really good ending. Because a lot of times, because I do investigative reporting, people are coming to me when the story has not turned out well. And so hearing the dedication of the people involved in this horse's life, and that they were successful in putting him in the best possible place that he could be upon retirement was really not necessarily a new thing to have learned, but a really refreshing perspective for me, because it's something that a lot of people want to have happen for the horse in their life, but it doesn't happen as often as it should. In the case of the three-part series, I think that the biggest takeaway for me was just, you know, the volume of horses that we have retiring every year, or that we think we have retiring every year. We don't track them as well as we could or should, but it would seem, if you sort of translate numbers from an Australian study to the U.S. population, we probably have about 18,000 horses leaving the track each year. And some of those will go to breeding. We think probably about a third of retiring horses go to breeding. But, I mean, the number of remaining horses, even after you take that out of the equation, is bigger than I would have thought it was. I knew that it was a big challenge to find places for all these horses to go, but I don't think that I realized the scope of the problem before I started diving in on this. And that's pretty sobering.
Talking with three-time Eclipse Award winner Natalie Voss here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Natalie, kind of playing off of what you just said, what is our industry doing well when it comes to aftercare, and what can it do better?
So I think that we've come a really long way in the last 10 years in particular. We created the infrastructure of the TAA, which accredits nonprofit facilities that retrain and adopt and retire horses. And that is fantastic. That was something that was much needed. And, you know, as time goes on, it just continues to be obvious how important it is to have an accreditation mechanism. And I think that the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program from the Jockey Club are all really, really good advances towards getting riding horse people, sport horse people like myself. I'm an amateur rider, but getting amateur riders and professional riders in other disciplines to think about thoroughbreds as being an option for them. I think that those efforts are going really, really well and have made an enormous difference. I think that there may be a tendency, and the reason that I wanted to write the series was we see a lot of buzz about those programs and we think, oh, okay, we've got this problem solved, like we're good. But in reality, the funding has not grown for the TAA. The TAA was originally meant to be a funding mechanism as well as an accreditation mechanism. And, you know, they still distribute a large amount of money each year, but the number of facilities they're accrediting is growing faster than their budget. And that's reflective of how, I think, in general, giving to aftercare has not grown as the infrastructure has grown. And that's a bit of a problem. Then you also have, I think I touched off in the piece, there's still an issue with the slaughter pipeline, and we're not doing very much at all to address that, really. So that, you know, that could come back to bite us from a public relations perspective at some point. So we're definitely doing really well in some ways, but we shouldn't get complacent and assume that the whole thing is solved now.
Natalie Voss, editor-in-chief of the Pollack Report. Again, two Eclipse Awards, which she will be receiving on January 28th this year. They are her second and third. It's a feat that has only been pulled off one other time by the late Bill Knack in 1991. And, Natalie, that's unbelievable company, and I know that you have to be very proud, and you should be very proud. Where can people go read these two pieces?
Well, I think if you find the announcement on the Pollack Report about the two writing awards, we've got links in there to the winning entries. That's probably the easiest way to find them.
All right, well, there you have it. Natalie, listen, appreciate the visit. Congratulations again. Well-deserved. Enjoy that special night on January 28th. Are you going to be able to be at Spendthrift, or is this all going to be done virtually?
I'm not sure how they're doing it for the winners that are announced the night of, but my part will just be done virtually. They'll have a little video package they'll play, and I'll be able to watch it from home in my pajamas, which is just fine with me.
Yeah, perfect. Well, listen, appreciate the visit this morning, and all the best moving forward. Keep up the wonderful work, Natalie, and appreciate you being here with me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mike.